Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it is so good to come together in your name and just thank you for these Saturday morning prayers, Lord, and that the time to look at your word and to look at a prayer in the Bible and then go on into prayer. And so this morning, as you have this great prayer from the book of Nehemiah, Lord, may we just draw near to you and may your will be done. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we continue in the book of Nehemiah, and we're at the third prayer, really, in this book. The first one, as we talked about earlier, was when Nehemiah was in Babylon as a cupbearer for the king, and he prayed for guidance and wisdom and enabling, and the Lord sent him on his way a few months later to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. And then the second prayer we had the last time we met was when he was now a contractor, basically building the wall. And you know the story there that we talked about. He spent about 4 or 5 months in prayer. And then with the Lord's enablement and the work of the people, they built the wall in 52 days. It was an amazing thing. Well, today we have the third prayer. And this prayer is not just by Nehemiah alone. In fact, many people think that it's maybe Ezra prayed this. It probably is more likely a compilation of a number of prayers that were given because we had the whole nation praying, gathering together and praying. And the event is the dedicatory service, really, of the wall that was completed. And so what happened was after the wall was completed, it was completed on about a month before this, on the 25th day of the previous month. And now on the 24th day of this month, we read in verse 1 of chapter 9, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and dust on their heads. Now, this follows about a 7-day period of the Feast of the Tabernacles, which they had been involved with. And Ezra was kind of brought back, I think, probably. Anyway, he was there and he was reading the word. And now they have this whole day they're going to set apart, really. It's an awesome day. It's an awesome time of coming near the Lord. It's a day composed of reading the word, prayer and fasting, and of worshiping and praising God. And so we've got a little bit of everything in this prayer. This is one of the longest prayers in the Bible. This and the dedicatory prayer of Solomon at the temple, I think, are the two longest prayers in the Bible. And this one has a little bit of everything in it for us, I think, which could be very helpful for us in our walk, in our prayer. So we have on the 24th day, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. So we see right off the bat that they're in a position of brokenness of heart. They're in a position of humility. They're there assembling with dust on their heads and in sackcloth. And it says, those of Israeli lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. So the reading that had gone on, the 7-day feast that had gone on, the tabernacles, and now they're continuing in that, and you see how the conviction is such that the sins are being confessed and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law. Listen to this. Of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. 1/4 of the day they were standing and reading the word of God. We believe this is probably a 3-hour period. So they would have stood and read the word for 3 hours. Can you imagine? Then for another 3 hours, it's believed they prayed and worshiped. And then for the second session, for another 1/4, it says they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And then it's believed they did that again in the afternoon. So this is a 12-hour day, 6 hours of reading the word and 6 hours of confessing and worshiping the Lord their God. So verse 4, we have the Levites here, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Shanani stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Isn't that an exhortation? Just think of the glory that the Lord is getting from the children of Israel at this point. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The hosts of heaven worships you. So they start right out praising the Lord here, exalting his name. Are you doing that in your prayer life? Do you spend some time in your prayer life just praising him, just thanking him, just standing up and blessing him as it says here? Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. This is what they're doing, and how the Lord must love that. Now they go on into the faithfulness of God in dealing with Israel. They start out with God choosing Abram, their grandpappy. You are the Lord God, verse 7 says, who chose Abram and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you, and now you made a covenant. So we see them standing on the promises here of God, with God having made a covenant forever with them to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. Praying to God, that's always good to affirm his faithfulness. You have performed your words, is the prayer here, for you are righteous. And how true that is. Our Lord is righteous. Then they go on into the affliction in Egypt. Verse 9, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day, and you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they should travel. So talking about the deliverance and the miracles of the Exodus. Now they mention the giving of the law. Verse 13, you came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws. By the hand of Moses, your servant, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst, and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to them. So now we're seeing, reflecting continually on God's goodness and on how he has been faithful. But now verse 16 has a but in it. And of course, we know when things are going well in the scripture and you have a but, that means things are changing. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. Oh, just think of the tendency in our fleshly bodies to rebel against the Lord. We see it over and over again in Scripture, don't we? And here we see the children of Israel, after they had been shown so much, and they had seen miracles, they had been taken care of for 40 years in the wilderness and so forth, and yet they acted proudly, hardened their necks, stiff-necked people they were referred to. But notice this now at the end of the middle part of the verse 17. They appointed a leader to return to their bondage, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Oh, what a God we serve. And isn't that true for you and for me? What sinners we were, and yet God has pardoned us. He is gracious and merciful. And indeed, we have experienced the fact that he's slow to anger and abundant in kindness, and he has not forsaken us. Hallelujah, huh? Praise the Lord. Going on, verse 18, even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God, that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. I can't believe it, the mercy and graciousness of our Lord. What would you have done if you were God? I mean, I know that's a kind of ridiculous question to say if you were God. But here they are rebelling, building a molded calf. They haven't even been in the after they got the law, they hadn't even been out a year yet, and they go into this terrible, terrible idolatry. But God did not forsake them. He continued to give them the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night to lead them on the way they should go. And notice this in verse 20, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Isn't that awesome? And notice as we just passed over, really in verse 20, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them. Now, how much more do we have since the day of Pentecost than the children of Israel had during the wilderness march? Because every believer now is filled with the Holy Spirit since the day of Pentecost. Isn't that great? We have something they never had. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 22, moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities in a rich land and possessed houses full of gold, houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your goodness. Awesome, as they were strengthened by the Lord, primarily under Joshua, to go in and take the land. How faithful God was. But now, verse 26, another change of heart here. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. Oh, how we see them, mankind rebelling over and over and over, even Israel here. Rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocation. Therefore, you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. And according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. That's probably the period of the judges, the 380 years where they would turn to the Lord and then fall away and turn back. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Seven cycles we have in the book of Judges, at least, don't we? Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies, so they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, merciful God. Many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, you know, in this rebelliousness, this stiff-neckedness. They shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, I love it. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, glorious and merciful. Isn't that beautiful? And how that fits you, how that fits me. He didn't deliver us over to sin. But in his great mercy, He did not utterly consume nor forsake, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Verse 32, now therefore our God, the great, the mighty and awesome God. Isn't that good? The great, the mighty and awesome God who keeps covenant and mercy. Do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people. From the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. Of course, the northern kingdom had fallen to Assyria. 722 in this kingdom of Judah here, which they would be more familiar with, has fallen a number of years ago. And then they spent 70 years in captivity. And now they're back from captivity. However, you are just in all that has befallen us. Even in all of the judgment of the Lord, notice they are saying you are just. How true that is. God is a just God. For you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings, nor our princes, our priests, nor our fathers have kept the law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Now here is the plea again to return to the Lord. Here we are, servants, today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty. Here we are, servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings because you've set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Now notice, they're going to make a covenant here as this closes in verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. Then as the scripture goes on into chapter 10, there's 27 verses of names who place their seal on the document. And in verse 29, it tells us a little more about it. It said, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. So we see here this great prayer that culminated the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. And they then go on into this dedicatory service, so to speak. And they have reading the word for 6 hours and prayer and fasting and praising and worshiping for another 6 hours and much confession of sin. But just notice, when we spend time with the Lord in fervent prayer, I mean serious time, he draws us to him, doesn't he? And he is so awesome. He's so good. He's so merciful. So read the word and pray every day, and may you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this great prayer, this third and long prayer in the book of Nehemiah, but yet it points out the wonder, awesomeness of you, your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, your patience. And it also points out our waywardness, our tendency to rebel, and how we need you. So, Lord, we, while not writing and sealing a written covenant, we want to just affirm that we love you, we praise you, and Lord, would you find us available for you? Would we indeed walk in the path of your commandments? Would you direct our steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over us? For indeed, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name.